The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. There's two things I really need to remind myself of today, perhaps, perhaps you as well. It's the first line of our second reading and the last line of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. I think if we keep those two things at heart, then it allows us to not be dashed in hope for the thing that we pray for today, for life. Some of you I know are probably familiar with the apparitions that happened in Garabandal, Spain, northern Spain. These aren't approved apparitions by the church, but much in very recent years have come about to show that there were some people who were dishonest about aspects of the apparitions, and so they're under reinvestigation again. But me personally, I think that they're very much worthy of belief, and I know many of you would agree with me on that. There was something very profound that happened. Those happened between 1961 and 1965, at almost the exact same time of the Second Vatican Council. And one of the things that was said to Conchita, the main visionary by Our Blessed Mother Mary, was something that was very disturbing for Conchita. You have to imagine now, this is in the mid-60s, in a Catholic village of 85 people in the northern mountains of Spain. So these weren't folks that were familiar with anything of the world, generally speaking. And the Blessed Mother had said something to her that she didn't understand. And she later spoke to the author of a book about Garabandal about this. And she said this very thing to the author. She said, "Can you imagine how a child could be killed and not the mother inside of the womb?" She couldn't even understand how that was a possibility. She said, how would it be that you can kill a baby inside of a mother and not kill the mother? At that time, and with her exposure to the world, it didn't even make any sort of sense that that was a possibility, that it was even in the realm of possibility. But then she said, "You know, no, I can't imagine that, Conchita. What do you mean?" "Well, this is what the Blessed Mother told me will happen with the overflowing of the chalice. This is what will happen in the world." She said it trembling and like very troubled because she just didn't understand how that was possible. But our Blessed Mother said that's what was going to happen. And of course, not that many years after it, you know, less than 10 years afterwards, we would see that begin to happen, widespread throughout the world. You know, the sin of abortion. The other day I had a very unique and powerful experience. I have a good friend, a husband and wife. My friend is pregnant, she's about halfway through her pregnancy, and they found out that the baby has something. There's a very rare condition called limb body wall complex. And what happens is that the baby's organs are essentially growing outside of her, on the placenta of her mother. And so it means that she wouldn't really survive very long after birth at all. Heartbreaking. I mean, it's the only word I could think throughout this whole entire time, ever since I heard, was heartbreaking. But the Lord, in our prayers and our petitions, he speaks to you and he speaks to me. You know, he tells us, he tries to guide us in the right way. So I had a meeting in Mount Angel, and the husband, he teaches in Mount Angel. And so, and then they live in Wilsonville now. So I was like, well, and I'll drive by their house on the way back. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to reach out to them. And so I ended up meeting with the husband in Mount Angel at the school, and we talked for a long time. And then we went home, and I asked if they had been anointed yet. And I anointed her, and the husband said to me, he said, Father, he said, I don't even know what to pray for. You know, it's just like, I don't even know what's reasonable to pray for, and I think that that's what's happened. We see what's happened in the world, and sometimes we forget. Again, I'll remind us all, that Christ has already won the war. This will be overcome, but we continue to fight the battle. So we can't lose heart in fighting the battle. So we continue forging forward and fighting the battle. But one of the things sort of came to me in that moment as we talked about how to pray for difficult things, difficult situations, is our Lord, he gave us the pattern in his own passion. We ask for the desire of our heart, but then we always, always submit to the will of God. You know, Lord, if this chalice should pass from me, then please let it pass, but not my will, but your will be done. And that's what we were asking for. We were asking for their baby for a miracle, for their baby to be able to come into the world and be okay. But not our will, Lord, but yours be done. And of course, I'm sure it's absolutely no surprise to all of you what the recommendation that they received for the baby was, to terminate the pregnancy, right? But what did they decide to do? She decides she's going to carry the baby to full term. And I spoke with her husband, and he sees his wife as the greatest of heroes. And isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that true? The greatest of heroes risked her own life, but to carry her child as far as she possibly can and to deliver the child into the world. And let God's will be done at that moment. When I went over there to anoint them, many of you have been anointed before, and so kind of just a reminder of what that's like. There's a part in the anointing rite where you lay your hands upon the head of the individual, just silently, the laying on of hands, and let God's grace flow to you, to the individual who needs healing. And then there's a short prayer over the oil, and then you're anointed on the forehead and the palms of your hands. And so, right before the anointing, she knelt down, as if she was receiving communion here, kneeling down. And I placed my hands on her head. And then I knelt down and I placed my hands on her stomach. And I don't think I've ever experienced anything so similar to consecrating the Eucharist at that moment. A life that was invisible to me behind her womb, but it was there, just hovering beyond my hands as I called down the power of God, the author of life, to help us. I'll certainly never forget that moment. And then I anointed her forehead and the palms of her hands and made three signs of the cross on her stomach and anointed her baby. And they named their baby Talita after the words you remember when Jesus heals the little girl, because my friend kept calling her our little girl. And what does Jesus say when he heals that little girl? He says, Talita cum, you know, little girl, you know, I say to you, rise. And that's the name that they gave to their daughter. And so we continue to pray for miracles in the world. We know that the big miracle has already come. Our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and all the destruction of the unborn that we have seen. He's already conquered those things. But people continue to sin until he comes again into this world. But we continue to fight for life, for truth, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So today, as we gaze upon him in the Eucharist, as we receive him in the Eucharist, remember, the bread of life is the basis of all life. We have to continue to educate the young about that. That without the first gift of life, there is no rights for anybody. Because if you don't have the right to live, there'll be no rights of anything else afforded to you. So today we come forth with pleading and some sadness, but also courage, because there are many people still standing in that trench and fighting for life. So we continue to just plead with the author of life to come soon, and to change the hearts of men and women in this world. God bless you all.